Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We're all talking about carbon measurement right now. Very recently, Verdana and Eco Registry is in a joint venture to launch Eco Consortium, the fully operational digital carbon registry with built-in measurement. I'm here talking about this and more is Asad Sultan on my left. He's the CEO of Eco Consortium, as well as Baram Singh to his left, the MD of Eco Consortium. Maybe Asad, you can start off with us telling more about Eco Consortium and more about this joint venture.
Sure, thank you. To start with, to talk about Eco Consortium, we have to talk a little bit about Verdana, which is the parent company and the joint venture partner in Eco Consortium. We set that up in January 2022, so about 18 months running now. Mm-hmm. And Verdana was set up as a digital measurement reporting validation platform for emissions reporting. Initially, we launched it in the data center sector, and data centers take a lot of power. So because they take a lot of power, we had to engineer it in such a way that it was over-engineered for what we call the commercial facilities sector, which includes, you know, a lot of different assets, office towers, malls, of course, data centers, mixed-use retail. So that is a very big category. Now, ironically, that category is quite underrepresented in terms of reporting, certification, and monetization of the emission savings that they generate through their programs. And so we saw that as an opportunity to bring those clients into the sector. But in order to do that, we had to extend our digital solutions that we had introduced with Verdana for the sector downstream into the certification and registry services that other companies offer to provide a digital turnkey solution. And that consortium of service providers we call Eco Consortium.
And of course, why launch in, say, for instance, Malaysia? What would be some of the key aspects on this market as opposed to other markets that you guys are in?
Well, we're here, so that's one of the reasons we chose it. Secondly, the reason why we think Malaysia is a very good showcase for this platform, once we discuss a bit more and you understand the way that the ecosystem works, Malaysia can play...
Yeah, let's talk about the ecosystem. Let's talk about the ecosystem.
The ecosystem, the carbon ecosystem, was of course set up at Kyoto in 1997. So it was set up with a... think of it as a two-lane road, two-lane highway. There was the voluntary sector, right? And then there was the government responsibilities, which they call the national contributions, the nationally determined contributions. Short term is NDC. Mm. So this ecosystem was supposed to be managed by voluntary and government standard bodies, voluntary and government carbon registries, and of course the participants who would generate the carbon credits and buy the carbon credits.
How is the NDC interlinked or correspond with the ITMOs or the International Transfer Mitigation Outcome?
Totally. You see, while the generation of carbon credits and the buying of carbon credits is usually private sector companies, right? But keeping track of them is a government responsibility for ITMO. You know, you can, what is happening today, because governments are not keeping, don't have the wherewithal to keep track on all these carbon credits, you're having a lot of double counting, which is contrary to what the ITMO asks. ITMO is Article 6.2 of the Paris Accord, which says that if you are selling me a carbon credit, right, then there has to be a corresponding adjustment so that you don't show that your emissions have to be adjusted accordingly. That can only be done by the government. It can only be done by the National Carbon Registry. Can't be done by us. We can help the Malaysian government do that because we have the digital wherewithal. But that, your question was, what is NDC got to do with BITMO? Total. It's the responsibility of the government to make sure, firstly, that we meet our nationally determined contributions, right? But we meet it in such a way that the corresponding adjustments take place.
So just to check in, Malaysia does not have a national carbon registry just yet.
NREC, the new climate change ministry, under which is MGTC, Malaysia Green Tech Corporation, Green Tech Corporation had launched in 2011, quite early on, My NCCR, Malaysia National Carbon Credit Registry. It was a analog platform in which pilot projects were submitted and credits were issued to help encourage, you know, project developers come
in. What do you mean by analog? Like people submit reports every
legacy. I mean, you know, I mean, analog means manual.
What does it entail?
Like, if I may just interject. So first of all, yes, it is, you know, and in defense of Malaysia, almost all countries have the same format. Basically, spreadsheets. Now, various bodies like the World Bank and others have been helping Malaysia and other countries to try and digitize, to try and get more in line with the voluntary side of the marketplace and get up to speed on these things. But right now, Malaysia and other countries, with possible, unfortunately, possible exception of Singapore, where they're a little more, you know, they have a little less worrisome issues. Singapore is only buy side. Singapore doesn't generate carbon credits. It buys carbon credits. It has to. Malaysia has got
both buy side
and sell side. So you have a huge area of responsibility to tackle. And what we are proposing is tackle it using digital means.
Okay. One area of concern right now is that I'm not talking so much about fraud. I'm talking about double counting. I'm talking about greenwashing, which may have some ill intent, but generally speaking, companies tend to comply if there are regulations involved. Nearly all companies tend to comply. Is this the pain point that you guys are trying to solve in terms of transparency and accuracy and real-time data?
Yeah. In short, yes. That is the credibility that we aim to restore to the carbon markets. Transparency, efficiency, scalability. Those three things are enabled by digital solutions. Simple.
The MGTC solution right now, is it still in place?
Well, I don't think it's active, but we would love to be the back office digital solution that helps activate it. And in fact, that would be the dialogue that I would love to have with NREC and other participants in the market.
It may very well be active, and I know that a lot of people are working hard there, right? But what we see, not just in Malaysia, any country you look at, right? Unless you digitize, you are not going to be able to properly manage your nationally determined contribution. It's just not possible. It's too much work.
Are there any countries that have digitized this, other than Singapore that you mentioned?
Theoretically, the countries that have digitized it are Jordan, right, and Singapore, I think, to an extent. I don't know any others, but you know there could be others. But
so when you say that your consortium is fully operationalizing the digital carbon registry, let's talk about the technology behind it. As I understand it, it's running on blockchain.
Let me explain.
Yeah.
So first of all, Eco Consortium, while it has just been formed, right, is not a new platform. So Eco Consortium has got two equity partners. One is Verdana. Verdana has a digital measurement, reporting, and validation, what they call DMRV platform, already in place, and it has already demonstrated end-to-end digitization of the carbon credit certification process in collaboration with another carbon registry, in collaboration with the standard body. So this platform is functional. Then you have our other equity partner, Eco Registry, right, who has been running successfully a digital blockchain-based carbon registry for the last 6 years. So both Verdana and Eco Registry, the two equity partners, right, have licensed and put their platforms into Eco Consortium. So you now have in Eco Consortium a registry that has been functional for the last 6 years. It's nothing new. A digital registry, which has also, by the way, got all the carbon credits that have been dealt with in the past. How much was it, Asad? 60?
Yeah. They've issued over 60 million credits and retired, I think, almost 40 million of them, 60%
so
plus.
So that data is already there. And then, of course, you have the digital management platform that Verdana puts in. So again, Eco Consortium just announced, just launched, but we stress the fact that it's a fully functional operational platform because it's been working for a while now. He said Verdana has been there since January 2022, and the Eco Registry has been there for the last 6 years.
the fraudulent practices of the issuances of carbon units right now is still a big concern for many governments, including Malaysia, especially the new climate change ministry, or the I guess the upgraded natural resources ministry. Do you feel that there can be more dialogue when it comes to the issuances of fraudulent carbon units right now? What must be addressed other than digitization? Is it better regulations? Do we have laws? If so, if we don't have more laws on it?
Yeah. Well, Bram can expand on that, but let me start by saying the industry, as it's emerged, is being overseen by some of the smartest people in the business with the best intentions. These are super large NGOs. These mm-hmm. are, you know, really well organized. And they've tried to solve a big problem, you know, which is carbon emissions and reversing climate change. It's a big problem. Mm-hmm. So because the scale of the problem is so big, the opportunities also are big. And therefore, there's been a big incentive by people coming into the trade to game the system. Mm. It's not a coincidence that nature-based and forestry and reforestation, the big box products have dominated this dialogue for, as you call it, you know, the problematic carbon credits in the industry. Mm. Why? Because those are also the ones that have the greatest variabilities. Mm. Like if you look at what we're doing in commercial facilities, we can take very precise data from power management systems. We can process it, we can report it. So that
real-time.
That's right. Yeah. So the granularity of that data, what we call the forensic credibility of that data is high. Mm. When you take a rainforest or forest cover, you have to make so many assumptions, terrestrial assumptions, climatic assumptions, satellite assumptions, and integrate all of that. So despite the best intentions, the ability for these project managers to game the system has been there, and that has resulted now several years down the line in, you know, a number of, you know, a whole category of credits that are questionable.
Outside of your realm of scope or players in your world, there is a lot of skepticism in terms of confidence and credibility in the capturing of the carbon markets and the trade of it. Do you feel that this can actually address the naysayers or the skeptics out there right now?
Yeah. Yes. So again, I'll reiterate what he said. This, in many cases, the skepticism is unjustified. Why? The large standard bodies we have, and I'll name them, you know, Vera, Gold Standard, these are highly ethical bodies. You know, we know these people. Vera, for example, is an NGO, right? So theirs is, and they work within very tight confines. Their methodologies are tight. Or they will use the CDM, UNFCCC methodologies that are there by default. The problem is, like he said, because these methodologies are analog, by and large, look at the ecosystem. So it requires, I've got a project, there has to be a validator who has to physically come and validate, verifiers to physically come and validate, provide the information to the standards body. All of this allows other third parties to game the system, right? Everyone acknowledges this. So it's not just Vardana. Everyone is working very hard to digitize the system, make it more efficient, make it more transparent, and make it more scalable. It's just that we are a little bit ahead of the curve because we've been doing it for the last 2 years. People are waking up to this now, that suddenly you're going to see people talk about it. It's going to be the buzzword, let me assure you. You're going to be hearing about digital, you know, management, reporting, verification from a lot of sources. A lot of these bodies are working hard at it. It's just that we have it in place right now for commercial facilities, which, by the way, commercial facilities, we were doing the number crunching actually when you walked in, take up almost... If you look at the total carbon emission billions of tons, then the 2022 number is about 50.7 billion tons of emissions, right? Out of which almost 28% to 30% is heating and power and buildings, right? And that is exactly what we are addressing. So we are addressing a very large chunk of this of the emissions. By managing the energy efficiency of these emitters using digital means. So we are there already, but others are coming in. So in answer to your question, the skepticism, people should give a little bit of leeway here to the standard bodies who are under a little bit of pressure these days, because these are very ethical companies who are trying to do their best. One more point. We keep blaming the voluntary sector, right? But the voluntary sector is only doing what it was set out to do. Hey, we're going to create, we have created for you, Kyoto said, we have created carbon as a commodity. Mm-hmm. Go and trade in it and make sure that you use it to get carbon neutral. So if Assad is generating a carbon credit, but I'm, I have emissions that I can't reduce, I'll buy that to offset my emissions. So this process was set in place by Kyoto, and the voluntary market took to it. The standard bodies have done their best to manage the system. At the same time, the nationally determined contributions of the governments also has to step up. They also have to step up. You can't have a two-lane highway where one car is racing there and the other car is lagging behind. So to remove the skepticism, firstly, digitize the processes on the voluntary side, but also let's help the various countries meet their nationally determined contribution responsibilities by helping them also to digitize and become, you know, be scalable, like he says, be transparent, and have an efficient system.
Still on the public sector, national determined contributions, one of the reasons why it's not scaled up is because of cost. Do you feel that digitization is going to reduce that cost?
It's not just cost, it's also the complexity of the problem.
Yeah.
Mm. Forget the cost for a second.
The turnaround period just, as well. You know.
Just think of the complexity. Let's look at one thing. You brought up ITMO. He is selling a carbon credit in Malaysia. I am buying it in the US. Mm. Right, I'm an oil company in the US, he's a rainforest here, he sells me the carbon credit. It's only one transaction, right? Mm. You are the government. You now have to keep track of this
transaction
so that you can report and say, as part of the Paris rule book, my NDC targets is such and such, I have achieved such and such, and I've made the corresponding adjustments for the carbon credit.
Yeah, it's not just about reporting it, it's about the authenticity of that report and being recognized.
You have to manage all that. So unless the nation, irrespective of which nation it is, unless it has a digitized blockchain carbon registry, right, that has data that is immutable, cannot be changed, and which then connects to some reliable, you know, bodies like the World Bank has set up the CAD Trust, mm-hmm. which actually focuses on ITMO. So through these means, the nation can then accurately report on its NDCs. The other thing which will help is something that Dato Rais threw up an article, and we've been chasing him on that. And that is the Islamic Sustainability Club. Mm. You can be as digitized as you want, right? He sells me a carbon credit, right? The chasing to make sure that both sides do the corresponding adjustment means that there should be a meeting of minds between both countries and both parties, right? Which is why the IETA came up with a report that actually suggested strongly that nations with similar interests should form clubs, and within the club exclusively trade with each other so that the corresponding adjustments are made.
And would this comply then with the Paris Agreement rulebook,
totally.
Definition?
Totally.
And this is part of the Climate Warehouse program under the World Bank, and therefore it's, I guess, internationally recognized, and therefore it's validated. But it also seems like if you know, Kyoto was done, I don't know,
1997.
Yeah, 30 plus years ago, yeah. Right? Mm. Not quite. But still, so it's over two decades ago.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's still off to a slow start. In the meantime, you know, the Earth's temperature has risen 1.5 degrees Celsius, and many more The awareness is high. There is no more, room for error. At the same time, skepticism is there in terms of how to get this done right, but the urgency and the necessity is there as well. Do you feel that it's time for us to just rally behind all these folks to see how we can make sure that, you know, governments adopt this, voluntary market is actually adopting it, and, you know, just get the road, get the show on the road, I guess?
Yeah, I like to use the analogy that, you know, everything you said is the frustration that we haven't gone to scale.
That's the word, frustration, yeah.
And I like to use this analogy that today the marketplace is filled with Savile Row tailors. They make a bespoke suit. It's, you know, it's very high quality. It's engineered to your personal taste. And it's all done, you know, out of the sight of the common person. We need to have more H&Ms making things in scale and making it far more accessible. So we are the H&Ms of the business. The Savile Row tailors are the bespoke suit makers. And there's a room for everyone in the market because it's a very large market. But our job is to bring solutions that can be rolled out across the vertical, across the sector. Ultimately, the goal to answer all these questions in a, you know, in a sensible way, you need to have a marketplace that functions. Marketplace needs products. You can't just have one product. You have to have an entire array of product. When you go and you look at a television, you're not just buying one standard thing, box. You look at 100 different models and then you choose one. So we help the productization of that market, which encourages more participants in the market, which encourages more project developers to submit more projects into the market, which encourages more types of carbon credits that come in so that you can match the carbon credit that that's being generated to the requirement for offsetting on the other side. And now you start seeing the demand curve being filled up with, you know, with solutions that match, where today you don't have that. You have have a lot of white space, I like to call it, in the demand curve.
If I may just add, so he, Arsad just spoke about the very important part of the marketplace. But there's also the NDCs, right? What is an NDC? NDC requires a country to make a commitment to reducing emissions, right? That's as important as the marketplace. The marketplace was put in place under Article 6.4 to encourage the whole carbon, you know, to make carbon a commodity so that it encourages offsetting. But offsetting by itself is not enough. You have to have reduction of emissions. Mm. Now, the nations naturally are resistant to, even the signatories of the Paris Accord don't like to be mandated. No nation likes to hear that I want, you know, the Paris telling you, you have to do this. No. So, which is why it is nationally determined contributions, right? But these nationally determined contributions can, you just can't declare a number, right, to meet, to check a box. You have to get the nation aligned, right? For that, if Malaysia is saying that we're going to reduce, I forget what it is, our emissions by 45% over, I think, 2010, I forget which benchmark. Well, that requires the industry, the gas emitters, the emission emitters in Malaysia to line up and play ball. So that besides the marketplace, there also has to be a commitment to meeting the NDCs, and the nations can only meet those commitments if all the stakeholders in the country are aligned properly. For that, you may need a carbon tax, you may need various incentives, you will need a digital system that manages the whole, you know, the ecosystem in the country. It's not easy, but it's highly achievable if Malaysia and other countries say, we got to get this done. We have to. You said about the commitment. We have been kicking the can down the road since Glasgow, even before that, that no one is willing to make commitments. I think, I hope in Dubai, the nations come together and say, you know what, we're going to put our national pride thing aside. This is a global problem. So the same way as Germany, you know, EU, classic example, EU has mandated that we will go carbon zero by such and such year. I forget which year. In the EU, Germany has made a law. Germany has passed a law that this has to be done. That is the kind of commitment other nations have to make if we have to reach somewhere.
Which does sort of bring us back to Eco Consortium. What we are trying to do with this, governments are out there, leaders are out there. COP28 will be a big forum where you'll have heads of state from 50 plus countries.
All flying in and increasing emissions, by the way.
This is true, but hopefully they can have something to talk about when they're there, right? Something significant. So really, to attack climate change, you must attack emissions in a scalable way, just like you were saying, right? That is the frustration building up year to year on all these annual conferences. So what are we bringing to the table? Why are we an important solution to this? ECHO Consortium offers these national governments a tool to bring more participants on both sides of the supply and demand curve into the market, a tool that, you know, is efficient, cheap, easy to use, and scalable. We launch it here in Malaysia, we showcase. I would love to be part of the Malaysian delegation to COP28, and from the Malaysian pavilion, we offer this tool to all the nations of the world. In fact, we had another South Asian country was here with us at the launch. They stayed with us and said, we want to take this back to our country as well in Bangladesh. Mm. And so we think we can bring this solution. We can digitize the national registries for many countries around the region and around the world with this solution.
But as Ram said, this is just one part of the issue. There's always incentivizing local players that needs to be done, carbon tax, and of course, penalization of the companies and of course, government institutions on the emissions, and try to get everything done together in a concert, I suppose.
Yes.
So it's a long road ahead. Very quickly, maybe you can tell us how people can reach out to you in terms of if they want to work with you moving forward.
The easiest is go to our website, echoconsortium.io. There's a contact page there. We're here in KL. Our office is in KLCC. We're easy to find, and we'll come find you if you don't find us.
There you go. That was Asad Sultan, the CEO of ECHO Consortium. Earlier on, you heard from Braham Singh, the Managing Director of ECHO Consortium. Again, just to reiterate, there are plenty of resources that can be found here on astroawani.com when it comes to carbon market. You can also look up for more resources on my show, Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. Until then, thanks very much for watching. Catch you in the next one.